we're on the Talid Amud Bey, the Talid Amud Bey's. You don't have to find the place too quickly because we're still in the middle of tying up the sugya from last time. But if you do want to have your be ready for when we continue, we'll start. Two lines before it spreads, before the widest lines. You have two dots there, Omar Abi Eloza. Right? You got the widest lines at the bottom, two lines before that. You have Omar Abi Eloza. But first, I just want to finish off discussing what we saw last time. So, last time basically we were introduced to the halacha that Gal Yisrael and Ma'ariv Shemoneh Esrei are supposed to come one right after the other. We dealt with many of the different angles of that. We dealt with Hashkiveinu, we dealt with Baruch Hashem Lo'olam. By the way, I actually have a whole write-up on it, but I ran out of paper. So, just let me know. I'll send it to you in email, anybody who wants. We dealt with Baruch Hashem. What? Yeah. We dealt with Hashkiveinu, we dealt with Baruch Hashem Lo'olam. We even discussed Amen Efter Goal Yisrael. We discussed Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. There's one last interesting discussion in the Poskim. This is for you. One last interesting discussion in the Poskim, which could be very relevant. We have this issue of Gal Yisrael and then Shemoneh Esrei. Now what happens when that comes up against davening with a minyan? How would that happen? You come to shul late, Myron, and the tzibur is about to start Shemoneh Esrei. So you have two choices now. Do I daven Shemoneh Esrei with a minyan and then say Kriya Shema with the brachas afterwards? And I lose the Gal Yisrael Shemoneh Esrei? Or do I say no, Gal Yisrael has got to be before Shemoneh Esrei? If I miss the minyan, I'll miss the minyan. Not yet. We're assuming that it's important. Yeah. So the place came here also. They draw an interesting differentiation, which requires an explanation. But they say that, well, Ma'ariv is not really a chiyuv, right? We keep harping on that. Ma'ariv essentially is not a chiyuv. So therefore, they will forego the geula tefillah aspect. Better daven with the minyan, make up Kriya Shema with the brachas afterwards. So that is the halacha. Ma'ariv, if you're faced with the choice, you come in, it's the only available minyan, and they're up to Shemoneh Esrei, you daven Shemoneh Esrei with them, you make up the rest of Ma'ariv afterwards, and you lose the geula. So you won.
So therefore,
yeah.
Why? What does that have to? One has to do with the other. So I mean,
it's not a fee of anyway.
Order of priority.
Yeah.
He's saying that the time before has to be the tzibur. The time before that to be the
tzibur. Oh,
once it's not a fee.
Yeah. Once it's not a fee. Right. Oh, good question. Right. And I'll bring it out even. I'll. Okay. Kriya Shema is Doraisa. Fine. But what the Olam is asking is, so many are saying, well, since it's not a chiyuv, it's not so important to have the geula before Shema Esrei, so prefer the minyan. Why don't you say the other way around? Since it's not a chiyuv, skip the minyan and go with the geula tefillah aspect. But you know what? Before answering the question, I want to make the question a little more difficult. The place can say, but at Shachris, don't do this. Because Shachris is a true chiyuv. So by Shachris, you can't switch the order. It's got to be Gal Yisrael Shemoneh Esrei, even if it means davening by yourself. So here also, we could have said the other way around. So, Shachris is a real chiyuv. So there, you better make sure you daven with a minyan. What exactly is going on here? So, the truth is, this is, I want to also bring back the question that was raised last week. What do we do at the end of the day with Kaddish? So this is basically what I mentioned last week. Rabbi Greenblatt of Memphis in Rivlois Ephraim has a very interesting part, which is the only plausible explanation I found on this business. He says like this, there's a big difference between Shachris and Mayrib. By both, it's very important to daven with a minyan, and by both, it's very important to have Gal Yisrael before Shemoneh Esrei. But yet, at the end of the day, by Mayrib, Shemoneh Esrei is essentially optional, right? The brachas, it's a different category. Shema and the brachas are obligatory. It's really two separate units. Just we're told, put the two units together. Okay? Now, at Shachris it's not like that. At Shachris, both are obligatory, and the Chachamim turned it all into one unit. There's a unit that begins with Yitzhar, Avarabo, Shema, Gal Yisrael, Shema Esrei. It's one obligatory unit. So therefore, he says, there's no such thing as switching around Shachris. Shachris is not reversible. Chazal bunched it all together as one obligatory unit, which simply doesn't switch. It's not playable with. It's a better word than that. But it can't be played with. At Mayrib, there are really two separate units, which we're told you should put them together. But at the end of the day, they are two separate units. And therefore, the issue of davening with a minyan is extremely important. And therefore, by Ma'ariv we say, better to daven with a minyan. Davening with a minyan is more important than Gal Yisrael. But by Shachris, it's not just an issue that we want you to have the issue of Gal Yisrael before Shemoneh Esrei. By Shachris, it's too late. The Chachamim set in stone that this is the order of the davening. That's an obligatory procedure that can't be played with anymore. So therefore, actually what he's saying is, really, davening with a minyan is more important than Gal Yisrael before Shemoneh Esrei. And that's why we say, Mayri, when you're faced with one or the other, prefer davening with a minyan. But at Shachris, it's not just an issue of putting Gal Yisrael before Shemoneh Esrei. It's one obligatory unit. The Chachamim set in stone that this is the procedure, and that can't be changed. And therefore, yes, even if it means missing a minyan, you're not going to reverse the order. The same way you won't say, well, if I miss a minyan, I'll rearrange the order of Shemoneh Esrei. Once it's set in stone, it's set in stone. That's his explanation. I think it's very plausible. But with this explanation, also, he gains another point. He says that also explains Kaddish. How come at Mayrib we say, well, we don't want any interruption, but Kaddish is there? So let's remember again, there's a very fundamental difference between Shachris and Mayrib. Shachris, Chazal turned into one unit. Mayrib are two units, which Chazal said put together. But really, Kriya Shema with its brachas is one discrete unit. Mayrib is a separate unit, and they're telling you, put one after the other. Now, Kriya Shema with the brachas as a discrete unit should be followed with Kaddish. In as much as it's a... What's that? It does mark that the unit is finished, but that's not its only purpose. But practically speaking, yes. So therefore, at the end of the day, Mayrib and Shachris, sorry, the brachas of Mayrib, Gal Yisrael and Shema, Shemoneh Esrei, are two different things that you're supposed to put together. Fine, but leave each thing in its pure state and then put it together. As a discrete unit, Kriya Shema with the brachas should have a Kaddish afterwards. So you have the whole unit as it's supposed to be with the Kaddish afterwards, and now put Shemoneh Esrei right afterwards. That's Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt's explanation with which he gains both of these points. So you say it's not really losing it, because this is the form of the Geula when it's on its own. You have to take a Geula that's on its own and put it with Shemoneh Esrei. Geula that's on its own takes the form of Geula Ashkivenu Kaddish. In as much as it's on its own, that's how it should follow. What?
Like you say, it's not one block, it's two blocks, but Geula with this Kaddish is still connected to
Shemoneh Esrei. So he's asking, doesn't the Kaddish itself break it up?
It's still there, but this Geula requires a Kaddish.
Yeah,
that unit requires a Kaddish. they were still Gehula. We're not saying it's not the Gehula and then Kaddish and whatever. The Kaddish is part of the Gehula.
Part of the unit. And I'll add that the Poskim actually add exactly what you're saying with an added point. They say that actually Kaddish also is about Geula. That's ultimately what Kaddish is about. So it also has its place there. Just like we said that Hashkivenu is extending the concept of Geula by its content. Right? It's about our personal Geula. Kaddish is also talking about the Geula. Okay. What? The future Geula, right? Right. But it's all
about Gal Yisrael.
I'm going to get back to that. What'd you say? Because by Shachris, since Shachris is all obligatory, Chazal just turned it into one unit. It's one unit that's Shema, Gal, Yisrael, Shemon Esrei. And Meirav, at the end of the day, it stays two units that you're putting together. Because at the end of the day, essentially, Shemon Esrei of Meirav is optional. See, it can never call it one unit. It's not one unit. Shema, Gal, Yisrael are obligatory. Shemon Esrei is optional. It's two units that Chazal is saying to put together. Now, your point. So, Rabbi Yaakov is asking, one minute, how can I just come along and say, hey, it's all Geula? You know, Gal Yisrael is Geula, and Hashkivenu is Geula, and Kaddish is all Geula. Rabbi Yaakov is saying, one minute, you're mixing apples and oranges. One is about the past Geula, the other is about the future Geula. So, I could insist and say, nevertheless, it's all the same concept, but there's a little more to it also, and this actually is a fundamental understanding in a little more of what Meirav is about. Here also, the Mefarshim say that actually, the nighttime Meirav is much more focused on the future. The truth is that in a big way, the Gal Yisrael that we say at Meirav, while it is in fact referring back to the Geula from Mitzrayim, a lot of it is actually focused on reinforcing our faith in the fact that Hashem is still watching over us and will continue to protect us. That's why you see it's more general there. It's talking about He always protected us from our different persecutors, right? And He continues to have us tread on the graves of our persecutors. Nighttime Ayurveda starts with the word Emunah, as opposed to the morning, in which we're thanking for the clear Geula that we actually saw. Nighttime Arab is expressed in the context of nighttime. It's dark, but we believe that we have a Geula yet to look forward to, and we base that on what we've already seen. But the truth is that in a very big way, nighttime is actually focused more on the future than on what already was. Okay. There, I think we've covered the halachic angles of it. But before, yeah. So that is acceptable because Atochen Antono. Now that I didn't actually see people doing that, but again, based on the same concept of Yalavi Yavoi, at Meirav that would be acceptable. Yeah. Okay. Now, still before we move on, just one more point I want to address is back to the very concept of this idea of the importance of Gal Yisrael Shemon Esrei. So we gave one explanation for Rabbeinu Yehuda the other day. Before we move on, I want to add his second explanation because these are fundamental lessons in and of themselves. What is the idea? What's the idea behind? What is so important about Gal Yisrael and Shemon Esrei? So, in short, what we said last time was that you want to relive Yetzias Mitzrayim and approach Shemon Esrei with, from the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's a completely different experience. You're talking to the Hashem, not the Hashem who you know in a theoretical way is, you're talking to the Hashem who you just saw split the sea. Don't feel as it's different. Another explanation that he gives is, and this is equally fundamental, if I could judge, is that what was the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Hashem said clearly, for the purpose of us serving Hashem. Now tefillah, superficially, we all relate to tefillah as asking for things. It's only given our wish list. But really, tefillah, fundamentally, first and foremost, is service. We're meant to stand now for the next 5-7 minutes, however long Shemoneh Esrei takes you, and just focus your attention on Hashem and give Him all of your focus right now. That's why it's called Avodo Shebalev. It's a service of the heart. It's instead of Karbonis. If all you're coming is coming and nudging Hashem, I want this, I want that, why would that take the place of a Karbon? First and foremost, it's Avodo. You're coming and you are dedicating yourself to Hashem now. You're detaching from everything else, should be, detaching from everything else, and just giving your focus to Hashem. It's not an easy Avodo. It's not easy to clear your mind of everything that's going on in it. But that's what Shemoneh Esrei is. Now actually, really on the deeper level, even the requests that we make are Shemoneh Esrei, at the deeper level, are Avoida. Why? What we're saying is, we are completely putting ourselves into Hashem's hand. We're acknowledging our absolute dependence on Him. We are putting ourselves at His disposal. And we're saying, whatever you can do for me, that's what will be. Whatever not, not. So, what? Whatever not, not. No, no, I'm hoarse, it's not going to help. Just let me know if you can't hear, okay? You hear? Okay. So therefore, Rabbi Nehemiah says, after we remind ourselves of the experience of the Geula, the next thing to do is go serve Hashem. We talk about the Geula, show that I appreciate what the Geula was really about. Now dedicate yourself to Hashem's service by davening. That's why Geula should be immediately followed by Shemoneh Esrei. So again, the point here is to make a little bit of a shift of focus in how we approach Shemoneh Esrei in general. It's not just about asking for our needs, but it's about, even the requests for our needs are really about acknowledging the fact that at the end of the day, we're just in Hashem's hands. That's Rabbi Nehemiah's explanation on the two. Yes and no. You know, let me go through the next leg of this discussion, and then we'll get back to that, and if I don't, remind me. Oh, welcome. We renovated since you left. You can also hear. Before we move on, I just feel that it's a waste. We're spending a lot of time on this, but I feel that it's a waste to miss some of the gems that are here in order to move on. But before I want to give one last approach on this, and this is probably the most authoritative because it comes from Yerushalmi. That's what Rashi means. Randaf Dalet Amud Beis, towards the bottom, beginning of the widest lines. Yerushalmi says like this. Yerushalmi gives a cryptic mashal. Yerushalmi gives a cryptic mashal in explaining why it's so important to have Shemoneh Esrei if the Gaal Yisrael. Yerushalmi says it's like this. Cryptic mashal. A person comes, knocks on the king's door. The king comes out and opens it. But by the time he opened it, the fellow went away. So he opens the door, the guy's gone. He closes the door. A few minutes later, the guy's back knocking again. The king says, this time I'm not opening. That's why it's so important to have Gaal Yisrael before Shemoneh Esrei. That clear? No, good. What's the pshat? What's being said here? What's being said is as follows. We'll say on one level and then take it to the next level. In spirituality, I'll stop by saying this. In spirituality, 2 + 2 = 4. Meaning like this. It's a famous concept, most commonly expressed with regard to Torah learning, but it's like this with all of spirituality. If you learn for 2 hours, and then take a break, then learn for another 2 hours, it's not the same as learning for 4 hours straight. The effect of the continuity is exponential. Meaning, the more continuous it is, without interruption, the more it billows, the greater it gets. That's, by the way, the pshat that I heard from Rebbe Lepovarsky, his famous question. Rabbi Akiva went away from home for 12 years. Comes home after 12 years, he's standing outside the house, and he hears his wife saying, I'd be willing for him to go for another 12 years. What did he do? He turned around and went right back. He was already there. He could have knocked and said hi. Reb Chaim Shalevitz says this point. No. 12 plus 12 and 24 are two different entities. The interruption would have already made it 12 and 12. It's not the same effect as a straight 24 years. Basically, the saying is like this. When you're saying Gal Yisrael, when you are, what are you doing? Again, we say Gal Yisrael is not recitation. Gal Yisrael is about experiencing the Geula again. It's supposed to bring it back to life in your mind. That is a big spiritual boost. Now, next on your agenda is Shemoneh Esrei. So you're getting close to Hashem. Now you have the opportunity to take that and go run with it. Go so much further. And instead you say, you know what, I'm going to step back now, read the paper, then I'll come back and start again. Hashem says, Shkoyach, I'm not interested. You're so much... Oh, exactly. You're so close to me, you can get even closer and you're choosing not to? Don't come back and knock on the door. Once you're so close, develop it all the way. Take it all the way. Don't stop there. So that's the idea. Don't get the inspiration of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Then go eat breakfast, let it cool off, and then start Shemoneh Esrei from scratch. You're fired up from Yetzias Mitzrayim. Go straight into Shemoneh Esrei. That's what the Yerushalmi is saying. I'll take this to a deeper level. I'm really abusing my privileges here. But I'm going to do it nevertheless. I'll just take this to a deeper level. This is Rabbeinu Tzadik of Lublin. One of the most profound. The last 1,000 years provided us with endless profound sources. But he's one of the most million profound sources that Klal Yisrael has in the list. He says that actually, Shema, Klal Yisrael, Shemoneh Esrei, represent a spiritual process that's very relevant all the time. The Jews are in Mitzrayim. And they recognize Hashem's greatness. And that's it. They commit themselves to Hashem. But yet, they're still in Mitzrayim. They're in the influence of Mitzrayim. They're in the atmosphere of Mitzrayim. After they actually leave Mitzrayim, Hashem takes them out of Mitzrayim. Now they're in a completely different reality. It's just them and Hashem. It's just them and Hashem. The Midbar. Midbar was above earth, above reality. Now they can take their commitment to the next level. So Rabbeinu Tzadik says that actually this is what's going on, Shema Gal Yisrael and Shemoneh Esrei. By hearing this, we can actually try to experience it. Shema is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, right? We accept Hashem's yoke. But yet, it's stressed often, Shema, who are you talking to when you're saying Shema? You're talking to yourself. That's right. You're telling yourself, I am now accepting Hashem's yoke upon myself. The next level is Shemoneh Esrei. When you actually take that commitment and take it up directly with Hashem. I told myself, I'm accepting Hashem's oneness upon myself. Now, go through the Geula, break out of the world you're in, just connect with Hashem directly now, and now repeat the same thing in Shemoneh Esrei. Subjugate yourself to Hashem directly. Tell it to Him. This is what you do in Shemoneh Esrei. You stand with a lower head, and now you're talking to Hashem. You say, Baruch Atah Hashem, I'm bowed before you, Hashem. You express how everything about your life is simply in His hands. So he's saying, it's mamish, a continuous development. You start with your own personal. You're still in your world, your concerns and your material pursuits and everything else. You tell yourself, I have to accept Hashem's oneness. Okay, now go through your Geula. Step out of your world. Step into the world of just you and Hashem. And now, express it on the next level, Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, I think I've exhausted the subject. Probably not, but we'll move on. Okay. Let's begin the next Gemara. Two lines before the widest lines. Omar Rabbi Elozer. Now, I hate to break it to you, but we have a few such Gemaras coming up. So just be prepared. We might not be moving so fast. Let's see. Some very profound Gemaras here. Omar Rabbi Elozer. Omar Rabbi Avin. A person who says Tehillah LeDavid three times a day. What's Tehillah LeDavid? Asher, it's what we call Ashrei. Shalosh Pamim, every day three times. Muv Tachloi Shehu Ben Olam Haba. He is guaranteed a share of Olam Haba. Meaning, Tehillah LeDavid is of cardinal importance. Saying that three times a day is a rocket ship. Gets you to Olam Haba. My type, what is it that's so great about Ashrei? Eleinu mishum da'asiyah ba'alef beis. If it's because it's in the order of the Aleph beis, if that's what signifies its greatness, neime Ashrei tmimei derech. We have a better thing. Want to give me their machine? Neime Ashrei tmimei derech. There's a better parak to say. Kuf Yud Tes, Ashrei tmimei derech. That's all of Aleph Beis eight times. Right? We all know that from the Beis HaKvaris, or from Yerutz, from the, right? What's that? Perek Kuf Yud Tes of Tehillim has eight psukim of Aleph, eight of Beis, eight of Gimel. That has all of the Aleph Beis eight times. What's that?
Everybody's
going to
do all that.
Ah, Shabbos, on Shabbos, you do a longer psukim of the Zim. Da'asiyah b'tmanya ampe. There are eight times Aleph Beis. By the way, I want to answer your question in a more serious way. If you think about it for a minute, is it realistic to spend an hour a day davening? That's also not realistic. Just to spend an hour a day davening, tell a guy that, yeah, out of every morning, cut out an hour. It's not realistic. But it becomes realistic for us. Anything can become realistic. But so obviously that's not the answer. If the answer was the Aleph Beis, we'd have a better pick. Kuf Yud Tes. Elo mishum li ismei poiseach es yodecho. Rather, it must be because of the pasuk poiseach es yodecho masbia l'chol chayotzom. You open your hand and you provide all of life with their desires. Wow, Chazal are naming that as the pasuk that makes this chapter the chapter of Tehillah. If that's the greatness of Ashrei, doesn't have to be Ashrei. It could be Halal Agadol. That's Hagul Hashem Kitoy Kilo Elam Chazdoy. Right, we say in Shabbos, all the Kilo Elam Chazdoys. It's got the same message. Noisem Lechem L'chol Basar. He gives bread to all flesh. So, which is it? Which characteristic is it that makes Ashrei so great? Either one seems to work. Because each one has a competitor. Elo mishum de isbei tarti. Rather, the answer is because this has both. It's got the Aleph Beis, and it's got Pesach Yisrodecho Masbeah L'chol Chayotzei. That's what makes it so great. That's what we say it is. What's that? Why three times a day? So, why three times? Oh, that's coming up. That's coming up. What?
Why not?
Oh, so you're asking why three times. You're asking why not set it up neatly. Shachris Minchen Mayru. So, one at a time. start with your question because it works better in answering both. Why not Shachris Milchem Meiriv? And here the answer is what? What's so great about Aleph Beis and Pesach Es Yodecha? You're giving me a lot of work. That's good. What? Ah, that's the answer. Meiriv is optional because I wanted to make sure you get your full three times. But in those days, not everybody was saying Meiriv. So therefore, they gave you two achachas and what it meant. That's the first question. Why three times? So actually, if you look in the Gemara, by the three times, there's a little note. Right? You see the little mark by the three times? In other versions of the Gemara, it doesn't say three times. It just says, whoever says Ashrei, every day is guaranteed a share of Olam Abba. And the Rishonim say, the Chazal set it up at three points to make sure that you end up saying it at least once a day. That's one shot. But now others say that no, the Gemara is to be read three times, and yes, Chazal meant that you have to say it three times a day. Because three times a day is what creates regularity, as we see with many other things. Three times creates shleimus. So we daven three times a day, etc. Okay. What's so great about the Aleph Beis and what's so great about Pesach and Sedecha? Okay. So let's start the Aleph Beis. Let's do one by one. Oh, right. Yeah, we'll get to that. So the Aleph Beis, some of the Mefarshim just kind of do away with it in a very technical way. Say, it's not that there's any value in the Aleph Beis, in having the Aleph Beis per se. Just any time, anything in Tanakh is with the Aleph Beis that indicates that the author considered it fundamental, wanted it to be easy to memorize, and therefore he set it up with the Aleph Beis. So it's not, Aleph Beis is not a reason for its importance, it's a sign that it's important. If you see it's with the Aleph Beis, you understand it's fundamental. And that's how they set up the fundamental things in Tanakh, were set up with the Aleph Beis in order to make them easily rememberable. Someone might ask, why are the Kinnis in Aleph Beis if so? Eicha is also an Aleph Beis. Eicha. What's that? So the Mabit gives the example of Eicha. Eicha follows the Aleph Beis. He says, yes, Yirmiyahu wanted all of Klal Yisrael to know it by heart in order to understand the urgency of doing tshuva. It says also a certain fundamental prakim in Mishlei follow the Aleph Beis, Eishes Chayil. Okay. But if so, you wouldn't have to go through the whole thing. We're saying if there's value. That's true. But then we could have cut it down to those three psukim, right? So, okay. But now, let's start with the second question, and then we'll get back to the Aleph Beis. Here I want to give the Maharal's approach, because this also will really deepen our appreciation of our day-to-day interaction with Hashem. First of all, what extent of involvement is required on Hashem's part in order for you to exist? How often does he need to check up on you? Obviously every second. What? You didn't hear me. How often, how regular does Hashem's involvement with you need to be in order for you to exist? So, what? Constant. On a superficial level, your heart has to be beating all the time. Who's making it beat if not Hashem? But it's much more than that. All of existence is being maintained by Hashem's ongoing command. Hashem, when Hashem commanded and you came into existence, it's not that Hashem gave the command and now you exist. The command is ongoing. When you look at yourself in the mirror, don't look at yourself in the mirror, you're not seeing the real thing. Look at the guy opposite you. You are seeing the word of Hashem in physical form. It's the word of Hashem. That's what, if Hashem would stop willing you for a minute, you would disintegrate. It's mamish, the word of Hashem that's there the whole time. Now, Hashem wants us to be conscious of this. But it's hard to be conscious of this. Shami, you hear us? You okay? Yeah. Hashem does not want to have a situation where you think that basically you run by yourself. Every so often you need Hashem to check up on you. Or every so often you need Hashem. Hashem wants to maintain as much as possible this consciousness of that you directly depend on His continued maintenance. And this is expressed in many ways. None of them will actually express it mamish to the full extent that Hashem's continued word, right? Hashem is saying it the whole time, let Him be, let Him be, let Him be. But first of all, just show one simple example. Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Mitzrayim. The terrible contrast the two. Mitzrayim has a Nile, meaning they have their source of existence, and that's it. Now they can run. Eretz Yisrael is not like that. They constantly require Hashem's input. Rain, right? Depends on rain. That's what rain is expressing. But on a more even more constant level, the Maharal says this is the pshat of the requirements for food. Why do we need food? Why couldn't we just exist? Hashem commanded us into existence. Now exist. Why is it that your body can only be maintained by putting food into it every so often? That is mamish just coming to express this idea. You always need Hashem's input. And your food is Hashem's input. It's illustrating the idea that you need Hashem to be constantly radiating life into you. So Hashem does it in a symbolic way, three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and supper. But that's actually how you're supposed to view your food. It says food is man's regular, constant connection to Hashem. So Hashem is, that's His input into you. He gave you another breakfast, then another lunch, and another supper, and another breakfast, then another lunch, and another supper. Because some of them becomes boring after a while. But the breakfast doesn't. Right? Each day it's different bread. You had it already yesterday. What's that? Theoretically they could. And the truth is that man requires it a lot more. When Hashem puts certain modes into the way the world runs, He's not always going to make it so focused. Because the world runs in a general way. But in many ways, man is dependent on regular upkeep more than animals. Clothing, for example. Whatever it is, that's the idea of food. And therefore the Maharal is saying that actually this pasuk of Pesach is Yedachem Asbiya L'chol Chai Ratzoyim. It's one of the most fundamental psukim in everything, in our relationship with Hashem. So first of all, the Gemara tells us that we're combining it with the Aleph Beis factor. But there's another point also. The Maharal says, so again, first let's just appreciate that point. Is one of the most fundamental psukim in our existence. It's mamish expressing that point, teaching us to relate to food in that way. That let's relate to Hashem in that way. It is Hashem again giving the command: this person should exist. This person should exist. And note also how the great forces of nature, how much of nature's resources are just busy producing food, right? The sun is busy cooperating with the atmosphere and with the winds and with the soil and with the sea and with the clouds. An ongoing process. Okay. Thank you. An ongoing process of what? Producing food. Take into account the bread that you're eating today comes in the same angel package, but it's not the same bread. 6 months ago, this bread didn't exist. And the bread that your life depends on in 3 years from now is not in existence yet. It's in the sea. It has to be evaporated, brought up to the clouds,
first the sun has to wrench it out of the sea, right? And bring it up to the clouds. Then the wind has to cooperate, move the clouds over. Then the atmosphere has to cooperate and make things a little colder. Then the rain drops. Then the soil does its thing. Hashem is already busy now planning your meal in 3 years. You open your hand and and you satiate all life with their desires. I'm getting to that. Okay. Now, that's right. That's right. If a person can manage to retain that consciousness, Rabbi Victor Miller used to say, every time you take a breath, you're taking in a cocktail. He used to live that way. Try to develop that awareness. You can mamish live with the feeling of walk through the street, go through your day feeling how Hashem is constantly reviving you and reviving you and reviving you.
Joy comes from the spiritual connection, the Torah, and that kind of thing. It's sort of like more of the basic kind of a stuff. So if you're saying like that's the main thing is the bread and the bread with peanut butter and jelly on it. So it's sort of like I understand that that's basic. Like the real what's the word? Soba.
The meat of it.
The real soba from the higher place.
So now I want to take your question, your question, and your question, put the three together, and go to the Maharal's next step of this. The Maharal says, and here's the punchline. Take this song, tell you it was worth coming to all, this is shiur number 11. It's worth coming to all 11 shiurim for this one. Come to the next 11 also. Maharal says, contrast Pesach Yidrecho Maskeh L'chol Chai Rotzon with Noisen Lechem L'chol Basar. Noisen Lechem L'chol Basar, he gives bread to all flesh. That's expressing it in the most physical way. Pesach Yidrecho is actually alluding at the deeper level. Masbia L'chol Chai Rotzon, he satiates all life with. It doesn't say Ritzono. I translated it, and we naturally translate it as their will. But all it says is Ratzon. He satiates all life with will. Whose will? His will. Maharal says he's actually alluding to the deeper level. You're right. On the surface level, it's about bread and peanut butter. But on the deeper level, what it actually is Hashem's will. He's busy injecting you with his will. Once you understand that that's really what's behind the bread, you understand that it's not just during mealtime. It's going on from when you get up till you go to sleep, or from when you go to sleep till you get up. He's busy filling you with his will. He's willing you into existence 1 minute after the next. Exactly.
And if Hashem does not keep that electricity going into the universe,
it'll all turn off.
That's
exactly. That's mamish what it is. And that's how we have to learn to relate to it.
If you make a decision to, in effect, take your will back from Hashem, which is to further distance yourself, and not necessarily say Ashrei three times, and not make brothers. Do the things that are fundamentally keeping you spiritually connected. You lose it.
Right. Well, at the end of the day, he will still be maintaining you.
Right.
And that's a very great part of his righteousness. We know it all the time. Right. Okay.
The word is so well out of place.
What is he filling you with?
He must be all kind of, like, say, with his chesed, his kind of, with all of his goodness. Like, why is he filling why not with his will?
His will for you to live. You live by his will. He's willing you into existence all the time. Not just chesed. Where does it start? Of course it's chesed. But the point is that you're alive because he's willing you into existence. Because he's repeating again and again. Yehi Adam, right? It's his will.
You're saying that includes every aspect from the wilderness to the God.
Yeah.
But he's also put into what we need and what we want. Also, his will encompasses.
That's the Pashtim Shan the Pasuk. That's right. And we're actually stressing this Pasuk that he not only gives us what we need, but he gives us what we want too. Right? Theoretically speaking, you would have a cup of Ensure one time a day and that's that. But yeah, look at the spread that he gives you. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a deeper level. It's actually expressing. Yeah. Food is the physical, external expression of this idea. And physical things are a very, very good tool to connect to the spiritual thing. If you can utilize your three meals a day to say, hey, this is not just a tuna sandwich. This is Hashem's next injection of life. Start with your meals. After having that thought three times a day and also saying Pesach Zidecha three times a day, you can start taking it to the next level and really feeling Hashem giving you life, willing you into existence all the time.
Maybe double amount, that's the next day, that depending on where you're holding, right. You can look at it in one way or the other.
Absolutely.
At the beginning, you think it is my, you know, everything that I want.
Right.
And later on, when it's all over, it's like, I wish
that's
I
right. Was. Absolutely. Right. Okay. Now, having said that, we can come back to the Aleph Beis point. Maral. How can we? I think I did. The three questions were, why not Loisim Lechem L'chol Basar? You asked. Then it's the physical. Why is the focus on the physical? And you asked, I forgot what, but I remembered that answered all three questions. Okay. Oh, but Maskeh L'chol Chayim. Right. Okay. Now that we understood that, listen how beautifully it works out. Now let's go back to the Aleph Beis point. The Maral says this is all about going from the surface level to the deeper level. Right? Understanding that food is actually Hashem's constant upkeep. And once you start viewing it as Hashem's constant upkeep, you go back to the next level and realize that it's not really the food, it's Hashem's will. What's Aleph Beis? Aleph Beis is going back to the most pure form. Letters are the next step of the Aleph Beis. But the root of it all is the Aleph Beis themselves in their pure form. And this is, you see it, right? They are the building blocks of the words. And also on a deeper level, it says that the Aleph Beis, Hashem actually used the Aleph Beis to create the world. Aleph Beis are the letters of the Torah. We don't appreciate that so much because Aleph Beis are also the letters of Yediyot Achronot. But we have to realize that in earlier times, they did not use the Aleph Beis for mundane purposes. In earlier times in Eretz Yisrael, they used a different script. They didn't use the Aleph Beis. There was a different look in the coins that they have from the period of the Bayish Sheni. It has a different script. Everyday life was a different script. Aleph Beis was Kodesh. But Aleph Beis, they related to with reverence. These were the letters of the Torah. These were the letters that Hashem used to create the world, to create everything holy. The words are already their physical form. But the source of it is Aleph Beis. Maral says, that's the point of the Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis is telling you, see past the physical form, the material, and go back to the original source. All comes together beautifully in this way. Okay.
Expression, everything is praising Hashem.
Yeah. However, that will be understood a few different ways, but yeah. Okay. Fine. Just finish this discussion just by noting that again, just the practical halacha that we get out of this, besides obviously that you're supposed to say Asher three times a day, is that since the key pasuk in Asher is Pesach Yedecho Maskeh L'chol Chayim Tzayim, the pasuk can say you must have kavana in that pasuk, and if you didn't, you have to repeat it. You finished Asher and you realize that you did not have kavana in Pesach Chesedecha, go back to Pesach Chesedecha and repeat from there till the end of Asher. That's what we get out of that demise. What's that? Because that, yeah, the point is to have it in the proper order. What's that? No, you left off at Ayin. Now pick it up and pay.
No, but if you didn't have to run it from Gimel, you only have to go back to pay.
Right? Right, because pay is the key one. But Lamaisi is saying the whole thing. Lechatchila you should have kavanah for the whole thing.
It's either out of pay for the foreigner or it's not important. But I'm saying that it seems like it's going in, like, in the middle of the two dinners. You know what I'm saying?
It's the Aleph Beis plus the Pesach HaSedecha. You're right. I don't know.
If you're concerned about the Pesach HaSedecha, you're concerned about the Aleph Beis, but I know there
are. Yeah, I guess that's the pshat. I don't know. I guess that's the pshat. The Maisa retain the sequence. You're talking about chakras? Mincha, if you come in late, then yeah, you start with Shmoneh Esrei, say Asher afterwards. Okay, we'll move on.
So does that mean you say it every day for money? What if you only say it one day for a year? You say it like half your life?
No, it said b'chol yoyim. No, you said b'chol yoyim, but really what b'chol yoyim means is making it a regular part of your life. If you miss it once, I don't think that ruins it for you. Have it as a regular part of your life, because again, the point here is not the recitation, but ingraining the points in yourself. And that's why, yes, it doesn't just mean that if you recite it three times a day, you get it. The point is, if you internalize the lessons three times a day, you get it. Okay, yes, we will move on, but on Thursday. Okay. I have a printout on the whole Hashkivenu and Gal Yisrael and Shemoneh Esrei thing. I just ran out of paper. Anybody who wants me to email it to them, let me know, and I will do so.